Calling the Tri-City Tips Net. Calling the Tri-City Tips Net for Wednesday, February the 5th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim and I'm located in the Red Cross office in Uncasville, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary nor required for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.97, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. The net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of this net is to provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TIPS net is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list of comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We will ask for your questions after everyone's checked in. There are three sections to the TIPS net. The first, the one I just described, is the open net with rounds of questions and comments as described and takes most of our time. The second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And the third, there is an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Unless otherwise directed, all communication should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release the mic button like this. And listen to ensure no one else called at the same time you have. If no one has, then slowly give your call sign phonetically along with your name and location and if you have a comment or a question. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim. I'm your net control station for this evening and we'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
Here is Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. Name is Kevin, located in Norwich, Connecticut. And my only question is going to be, what's the topic tonight? I don't remember.
This is Kilo 1, Delta, Charlie Tango, Dave in Preston. I thought the topic was going to be trivia, so I hope I have my plethora of useless knowledge all prepared.
Kilo 1, Victor. Good evening, all. No questions yet.
Okay, net recognizes Kevin, K6PDG in Norwich, and the trivia question for you is tonight trivia night. And net also recognizes Dave in Preston, K1DCT, and Steve in Coventry, NK1V. Anyone else that would like to check in, please call now. Okay, very good. Yes, tonight is trivia night. And I had to look that up in my notes earlier today because I had forgotten. I knew it was something, but I couldn't remember. And I was able to find it. And I have to admit, I don't know much trivia myself, so I did go online and kind of plagiarize a few trivia things that I found. And I think I'll start us off with a trivia note of myself, which is that there was a woman whose call sign was Kilo 5 Papa Sierra Golf. And her name was Peggy Sue. And rather than go through the whole round of comments having people guess or what have you, I'll just say we should know her because her name was Peggy Sue, which was very familiar to people, maybe not the younger generation, but the older ones, because this was the Peggy Sue whose boyfriend was Buddy Holly, who wrote the song Peggy Sue about his Texas girlfriend. So I found that of interest. And let's go on to Kevin and see if he can ad hoc, out of the blue, off the top of his head, think of any trivia. And if not, we'll go on to Dave. But we'll try Dave. We'll try Kevin first. KE6PDG, this is Net Control KC1TWR.
Thanks, Jim. Good evening to you and to the net. Yeah, I was racking my brains and couldn't think of what it was. So I'll be flying by the seat of my pants here. That's normal for me, though. It kind of looks funny if you see it. Good thing this isn't slow scan television. So when we say trivia, I guess we usually think of names like you. Yours was just about a person, you know, who is so-and-so or whatever. And I wonder if we're limited to that or other weird stuff, trivial stuff. I'm going to take the chance that maybe anything within the bounds of good taste is acceptable. So I'm going to ask, and I'll do mine in the form of a question. We'll see if folks have guesses or ideas, or Dave will probably get this one real easy. But what's another name for a repeater? We talk about the Salem repeater or the repeater over in Salem. What might we call it other than a repeater that might be sort of a colloquialism or another word for repeater that you'll hear hams use sometimes? We'll see if folks have a response to that, and then I can think of at least two. So there you go. I'm now going to come back to Earth and no longer fly upside down and pass back to net control. KA6PDG.
Well, thank you for that question there, Kevin. I can think of several names that I've called repeaters when I've been having problems with them, but I don't think that the names I was thinking of are allowed on the air, so I'm going to keep them to myself. And yes, as far from my perspective, there is nothing for today's Trivial Pursuit, there's nothing too trivial that can't be mentioned as long as it's interesting, fun, or educational. So we'll go to Dave and see if he's thought of another name for repeater and what other trivia he might also have. K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
Alright, well, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. And congratulations to Tim on his, well, I guess I'll call it a promotion. Look forward to whatever comes along, and hopefully I can help out in some way. So, let's see. Well, the most familiar moniker that gets attached to repeaters that I'm familiar with is the machine. Not like Pink Floyd's machine. You don't have to be welcome to it, although I guess you probably could be. But I would quite often hear that term say, you know, I'll meet you on the 7-3 machine. So, which might come from you know, some of the early repeaters, they required a Morse code CW idea type thing. And a lot of times, that was just something on a timer that was a wheel. notched, you know, round disc, notched with the proper dits and dahs to send out that Morse code ID on a regular basis. So maybe that had something to do with it. And keeping along the radio lines, I'll throw in a piece of trivia here. We're all pretty familiar with the FM broadcast band from 88 to 108 megahertz. Where was the FM band before it was in the present location? Back to net, K1DCT.
Well, thank you, Dave. And that was interesting, talking about the machine and the CW and the notched disc. Makes me think of the fire alarm boxes that are scattered around the towns that are, some of them are becoming antiques and no longer used, unfortunately. But they were also spring-wound and had a disc in there, and certain notches cut out so that it would trigger the fire alarm back at the fire station for the number of tones, or not tones, but sounds or whatever. I remember all in Groton, all the schools were a two-digit number starting with a 5, and then the second number would tell you exactly which school. Okay, and that's a good question about the FM band. I have no idea. I didn't even know that there was a previous place for that. And but we'll go on to Steve and see if he's got an answer for either Kevin's question or Dave's question, or maybe some trivia of his own. NK1V, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
NK1V, and I am completely unprepared. I guess we did talk about doing trivia stuff, and I spaced it. But the repeater thing, yeah, Dave hit it right on. That's what I always usually hear is the machine, this machine, that machine. So that's, I don't know, can't think of anything else that I've heard. That's like the most common name. And I do not know what the previous FM broadcast areas were, but I'm actually very interested in that, because I don't know if it was before my time or not, but I don't know of anything any different. And I'm very interested to hear, and I'm not going to look it up because I'd rather hear it. Back to net, NK1V. Oh, and I have nothing yet for trivia, but I'm kind of thinking about stuff. NK1V.
Well, thank you, Steve, for putting on your thinking cap, and we'll see if it's productive at all, or if it's in sleep mode. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. We'll do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet, open to all amateur radio operators. Anyone else that would like to join, please call now. Okay, we're back to the top of the list, and again, I don't have a real answer for Kevin's question other than the fact that instead of calling it, you know, saying, I'll meet you on the Raycon repeater, sometimes someone might say, I'll meet you on 73, or I'll meet you on 97, or 67, or 06, and do it that way. But I have a feeling Kevin has other words in mind. Nice words, decent words. And again, with the FM band, I never knew that it wasn't 88 to 108. Okay, and I do have another piece of trivia I'd like to report on. And I was kind of hoping Chuck W1FJW would be online because I thought he would find this of interest. There's a fellow named Gerson Strasberg, Strasberg. He had a call sign, WA2JXX, Whiskey Alpha 2, Juliet X-ray X-ray. And he invented the plastic pocket protector, which was designed to slip in the shirt pocket holding pens, and especially being plastic, if your pens leaked, hopefully it would stay within the plastic pocket protector. And of course, geek fashion dictated you not only had to have the pocket protector, but you had to have multiple pens tucked into it. So that's my piece of trivia for this round. But let's move on to Kevin and see if he can give us an answer to his question and what he may think of Dave's question. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Thanks, Tim, and thanks, everybody, for putting up with my silly question. I guess it's not totally silly. So, machine was one of the words I had in mind. The Raison machine or the Grattan machine. Another word that I haven't heard used around here a lot, but I used to hear years ago, people would refer to it as a box, B-O-X. So, can you hit the Vernon box on 145.41, or does John Spiegel still have his box in Ledyard? Box was another word for a repeater. I've also heard ripeter, which I guess would be R-I-P-I-T-E-R. It's kind of a silly one. May have just been a small clique of people I was familiar with. And the one that I've occasionally used, Tim mentioned, when repeaters aren't working well. I have also used the phrase rip-aparter. Rip-aparter. Not necessarily real nice, but not dirty either. FM band, that's interesting, Dave. I should know the answer to that, and I don't. I have a feeling when you say it, I'm going to snap my fingers and go, ah, shucks. I should have remembered that, having been in the business. So I'll leave that one where it is. What else here? What else can I come up with? I'm gonna try and come up with a really good question, so I'm going to wait. And maybe on the next round, I'll have something really good. Or maybe not. KA6PDG, back to you, net control.
Very good, Kevin, and thank you for answering your own question there. And we're next going to go to Dave, who did get the answer right with the machine as one of the other words that can be used for a repeater. That's very good. And maybe, Dave, you'll now tell us about the interesting story of the FN band that used to be elsewhere before it moved. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Well, I'm having fun because trivia is one of my small talents. I am a plethora of useless knowledge, but let's see, just before I reveal the secret, I'll keep you in suspense for a while. Tim, you mentioned the fire alarm boxes. At Gamewell is the trade name or the maker name of those boxes. And for interesting trivia, it is a closed loop, so it's constantly closed to supervise it. So when that wheel spins around, it actually breaks the loop, and that's what blows the fire horn siren back at the fire station. So have a little, a very small amount of experience with those back in I was doing some fire alarm stuff, but very cool. If you can get a hold of one when they take them out, I know a lot of places have removed them and gone to radio or private monitoring type stuff, but they're kind of fun little things. I don't personally have one, but if I found one, I would probably be tempted. Let's see, what else? Oh, pocket protectors. I have two right in front of me here that I pulled out of my desk drawer. Have used them many times, and yes, you have to have the right assortment of pens, various colored pencils, maybe a screwdriver or two, and even a nut driver if so inclined. In fact, one of the pocket protectors I have is a Snap-on pocket protector, probably worth billions. So, with all that, I'll get to the FM band. You In 1940, which was approximately the time the FM band came into existence, the frequency was 42 to 50 megahertz. After World War II, the big one, as Archie Bunker would call it, that's when it moved to its present location of 88 to 108. So, and the 42 to 50 was reassigned to, well, various other things, a lot of public service stuff. So, occasionally, if you go to an if you find an antique radio that has AM/FM, that was made prior to World War II, you'll see the FM band in that 42 to 50 megahertz range. A little bit of useless trivia. I haven't come up with anything else at the moment. So back to that, K1DCT.
Well, that's very interesting here, Dave. Also about the two pocket protectors. Yes, I would. If I were you, I'd hold on to them and treasure them because I don't know if they're even being made anymore. I think they may become collectible items. Especially by older gentlemen who used to use them. And I'm wondering if they switched from 42 to 50 megahertz to the 88 to 108 in order to use shorter antennas to work on cars. Probably that was a side benefit and they actually moved it for other reasons, but that's what stuck in the top of my mind. And yeah, and I think in the city or town of Groton, they are talking about shutting down all those boxes. So if I happen to see that they're disposing of them, I will try and let you know. Okay, let's move on to Steve and see what he thinks about the answers to the questions, if he has any opinions on those, and anything else that he may have dredged up from his thinking cap. And K1V, KC1TWR.
K1V. Not much on the pocket protector thing, but the FM frequencies, that's actually quite interesting. That stuff, I would have never known that there was anything any different. That's all I've ever known, and that's a very interesting bit of trivia. I have nothing that really came to my mind, although I was scrolling down through the interweb looking for general radio, because Dave had mentioned FM broadcast, and a question came up, which we can use or not. What is the maximum broadcasting power allowed for U.S. radio stations? Obviously, broadcast, commercial. I didn't know, and I was actually kind of wondering that, and I just stumbled across it, and now I know. Back to net, NK1V.
Well, that's a very good question. Let me come back to you just for a second. I just want to make sure I have this right. You're talking about the maximum broadcast for commercial broadcasting?
WCCC or something, a regular broadcast station.
Okay, that's a good question. I'm not even going to hazard a guess, because I keep hearing, you know, things like 500 watts, 1,000 watts, kilowatts, and what have you. So I don't know. And whatever I guess, I know it's going to be wrong. It's sort of like buying a lottery ticket. I know I won't get the winning one. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. It's now about 23 after the hour. We'll do another quick call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Tonight's theme is Trivial Trivia. And hopefully everything will have to do something to do with amateur radio. And anyone else that would like to join in this discussion this evening, please call now. Okay, we're back to the top of the list. I have a couple more items, and one of them, I actually have two more, but I'm only going to do one this round. And it's talking about this famous ham radio operator invented a legendary music device that was featured on the album Switched on Bach. Does anybody know who that was? And unfortunately, I don't have his call sign, but he was an amateur radio operator, and he invented a legendary music device that was used in the album Switched on Bach, B-A-C-H. I'm betting that Kevin will probably get this one. So let's go to Kevin and see if he has an answer for that, or if he's come across a real mind-twisting trivial question for us. K6BDG, this is Net Control, KC1TWR.
We don't even know what the prizes are for this yet. I guess we just get attaboys from Net Control. Good stuff so far. It's quite enjoyable. Okay, the broadcast power, maximum power, as far as I know, is 50,000 watts. In Mexico, it's 100,000, and I believe in Canada, it's 100,000. So let's sort of stay in the... let's stay in the broadcast, commercial broadcast area for a moment, and I'll ask the question, what is the, okay, for AM radio stations, AM commercial broadcast stations, the spacing is 10 kilohertz, from 530 all the way up to 1700 now, or 1705 kilohertz is the AM broadcast band. The frequency spacing allocations, frequency allocations, is 10 kilohertz here in the United States. What is it in Canada? What is it in Canada? So that'll be my question for this round. I'm starting to get warmed up here, so, you know, you may have created a monster, Tim. KA6PDG.
Well, that's okay, Kevin. If you're a monster, you're up in Norwich, I'm down in Groton. That works for me. Okay, what is the kilohertz spacing in Canada? Well, Canada works on the metric system, I think, more than we do. So I would say also 10 kilohertz. That'll be my guess. But let's move on to somebody who may know, as he likes trivia. And I don't know how much Dave knows about the commercial side of things, but let's find out. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, well, I'm certainly having fun, and hopefully I'll learn a thing or two, that I'm sorry there are more participants. But anyway, we're having a good time, and yes, Kevin hit it, 50,000 watts is the max. In fact, in AM, they call that clear channel. So those stations are on. So, you know, when the propagation changes, when the sun goes down, you can easily pick up, WBAL out of Baltimore, or I forget some of the other call signs out of, you know, Rochester, New York, and so forth. So, good stuff. So, Canada, I'm going to guess, is different. I don't know what it is, and I haven't cheated and gone out to look on the interweb. But I know that Canada, they have, I think it's called Radio Canada International. They have some shortwave stuff. And it's a lot of, if you do any shortwave stuff, usually it's, you know, the megahertz, decimal, something something, and it ends either in a 5 or a 0, three points in, three places in from the decimal. But I know Canada has a station that is on 6.007, so I'm going to guess they're probably off the mark a little bit, and I don't know what it is, but I'm looking forward to find out what it is. So that's about it. I'll throw something in here in the mix, seeing as we have some time. I think all of us are old enough to remember the old AM radio band with the little triangles on the dial, or if you will, triangles with a zero. A circle around them. So I'll throw that in the mix if you know what that is. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, Dave, I'm going to take a crack at that one. My guess is that that is the old, or the civil defense frequencies that people should dial to in case of an emergency. That would be my thought, but I could be wrong. So we'll move on and see what Steve thinks. But I keep thinking back to the Canadian side, and I'm beginning to think maybe my answer might not be correct. But we'll find out. In the meantime, let's move on to Steve and see what he thinks about Dave's question and about your question. NK1B, KC1TWR.
And yes, Kevin and Dave are 100% right on the 50,000 watts. And it's kind of interesting because the original site that I got the question from, which I will no longer return to, because their answer was 100,000. I thought that was strange myself. So as everyone was speaking, as soon as Kevin mentioned, I went to some little bit more respectable resources. And yes, indeed, it is 50,000. There's all kinds of other combinations of time over watts and so on and so forth, but it is 50,000. And the Canadian thing, I should know this, but I don't. I would almost assume that most of it is very similar, but to what we use. But I am not sure at all. What was the? Oh, the little circle with the triangle. Not a clue. That's again, maybe before my time, or maybe I just never really noticed. I remember playing around with old AM radios when I was a kid at my grandmother's and stuff. And, I have no idea what it is, but I'm wondering if Tim is right. So I've got nothing new, so I will pass it on. Back to net, NK1B.
Well, thank you, Steve, and I too, along with all of you, are enjoying this trivia section. It's trivia night. I think it's something we may repeat, not every month, but I think it's well worth it. I will give everyone a fair warning. In a couple of months, we're going to have, I believe, if I check my calendar correctly, a Wednesday night for the TipsNet that's also April 1st. And if so, probably the theme will be Tall Tales from Amateur Radio. And we'll have to see what we can come up with, but I'll verify that. Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. And tonight's theme is Trivial Trivia, anything to do with amateur radio. And you don't have to bring anything to the table, but maybe even come in and try and answer some of the trivia questions that are being posted. Anybody else that would like to join, please call now. Okay, let's see now. I think I've given my answers to the questions that are on the table, and which is the spacing in Canada and the triangle in the circle. And I have a question. What inexpensive amateur radio manufacturer is now very concerned about knockoffs of their cheap radios? If you can tell me the brand name, you will get an extra attaboy. And with that, we'll go back to the top of the list to Kevin, KA6PDG. This is KC1TWR.
All right, Tim, very fine. But don't anybody be shy if you're out there listening. Even if you don't want to play trivia, you have some other question or topic. Let's see here. I'm going to say that you're probably referring to Baofeng, but that's a guess, and it seems like that would almost be too easy. So, but I'm gonna go down on record as guessing that it's Baofeng. Let's see. I think you're right on the civil defense symbol. Not sure. Okay, we'll get to my question and then a comment and maybe another question. And so the answer I was looking for was 9 kilohertz spacing. I'm not sure where their band edges are. They might vary a little bit from ours, but it's 9 kilohertz according to everything I've read. But as I sit here listening to all of you and all this fine information that's coming across, I find myself scratching my head because CKLW, which is up in Windsor, Ontario, I think, is on, I think, 800 kilohertz. The Hamilton, Ontario station's on 900 kilohertz. How come they're even like that? I will tell you that the literature I've gotten from Sea Crane, which is where I bought some stuff, radio stuff and stuff, in their literature they tell you it's 9 kilohertz. So if I'm goofed up on this, then you can take away one of my attaboys. Let me reset. On the Clear Channel, Dave, you're right. However, Clear Channel licenses are no longer granted. That changed under the Obama administration. So there are still, I think, a couple of Clear Channel stations, but their licenses will not be renewed as Clear Channel, last I heard. It was something that I wasn't really in favor of, but, and I know we don't talk politics over the air, but politically I can sort of understand why the previous administration might have done that, and probably for some reasons that I would ostensibly agree with. But I like the idea that you have a few stations, they're on their own frequency, nobody else can share that frequency with them, and they're 50,000 watts. Okay, and quickly, another question. When many times amateur radio operators, but also some non-hams, will use the word loafer, L-O-A-F-E-R, and they'll say, hey, Dave up there, he's got a ham call, K1DCT, he's a loafer. What does that mean? And I'll give you a clue, it does not mean that he's lazy or a couch potato. There's another meaning for the term loafer, L-O-A-F-E-R. Back to you, Nat, K6PDG.
Well, thank you, Kevin. That's a good question. And if it's not loafer, as in somebody who's lazy, then the only thing that comes to my mind is somebody who eats a lot of bread. So he eats a lot of loaves of bread, so therefore he's a loafer. But that's probably not the answer. But let's go back down to Dave, see what he thinks about the loafer, and also get, hopefully, the answer to the triangle and the circle question. K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, very good. Let's see. Well, let's see. The knockoff radios, yeah, I'm going to go with the Baofeng, or as I like to call them, Bad Thing, because we all know they're not good radios. Spurious emissions and spectrum-wise. And I have one. Actually, I have two Baofengs, two different models, and I use them mostly for monitoring, so that would be that. As far as the loafer, let's see, outside of needed maybe a kicking somewhere, loafer could be a low bander. Somebody likes to hang out on 160 or 75 meter phone, as I used to refer to that as the old man band, and all of a sudden I'm there. But so that's my input on those things. Yes, the little triangles. They were at 640 kilohertz and 1240 kilohertz. And it was a system called Conelrad, C-O-N-E-L-R-A-D, and that's a, I guess it's called a contraction. So it stood for the Control of Electromagnetic Radiation. So that's where you were supposed to tune in the event that there was some sort of Cold War activity. And eventually they did away with that because, but all other stations were to go off the air. So there were stations around the U.S. on those, one of two of those frequencies that you could tune to. And it was the original civil defense. Before we were prepared, we were defensive. So that's what that is. You can look that up and read in great detail as to what it was all about. But being a dabbler, I'll call it, in antique radio stuff. I have a lot of these tabletop radios that have that symbol, so I tend to keep up with all that useless stuff. So that's about it. I don't think I'm looking at the time here. And speaking of time, wonder how Tim's enjoying that new clock. And but I won't throw anything else in here at the moment. K1DCT, back to net.
Well, thank you, Dave, and I'll take partial credit. I did say civil defense and what have you, and this was pre-civil defense, but still I think the same purpose in mind. So that's good. That is very good to know. I will cut Steve off a bit and just go ahead and say, yes, it is the Baofeng company that is complaining about cheap knockoffs of their cheap radios. And it makes me wonder, some of the Baofengs aren't that bad, but some are pretty horrendous. And it makes me wonder if the cheap knockoffs are any better or worse or the same as far as quality goes. But looking around, I've already seen, because I looked at the website and saw where they showed on the grill, for instance, the good grill and then a knockoff grill. Watching different people I know in the amateur radio community, I already see some people with some of the knockoffs, not knowing if that they are knockoffs or not, but there it be. Okay, let's go to Steve, and let's see, I think the only question we have on the table at the moment is loafers, and I like Dave's answer, although I would have thought it would be L-O-W-F-E-R, but maybe not. But let's see what Steve thinks about this in K1V, KC1TWR.
K1V. Yeah, loafer, I've never heard that, and so I'm not, I never even thought about it, so I'm not really sure what it means. There's been a couple of similar terms that have come by me, and I've had to figure it out, just to see what was going on with it, but I won't mention him, because I can bring him up in the next trivia thing. I do want to make a comment on the triangle inside the circle on the radio things for civil defense and having two frequencies in the event of some sort of situation and all other stations going into silence just seems like not a very good security mode to be in, because it would leave the entire listening society, you know, if everybody's only listening to two frequencies, and that would be very easy for an opponent to jam those frequencies out, and we'd all just be sitting here staring at candles. But that's something they probably didn't really think about back then, how easy something like that would be to do. And especially if you're selling radios that have the frequencies printed on them. I just found that interesting, but it is what it is. So back to net, and K1V.
Well, good comment, Steve. And one of the issues that we'd have today, we don't have those markings on the radio, but on television and so forth, there are certain channels that do their emergency broadcast systems. And actually, now that I think about it, our cable box reverts back to a different channel when that comes through. So, well, times have changed. What can I say? Okay, we're at the bottom of the list. I think we're going to go through one more time before we step into section 2 and 3. But first, let's do another call out. This is the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. Anyone that would like to join, please call now. Okay, I have... the answer to the famous ham inventor with legendary music device featured on the album Switched on Bach was Robert Moog, M-O-O-G, of the Moog synthesizer. Let's see, he died in his call sign actually was Kilo 2 Alpha Michael Harvard. I forgot my letters there. K2AMH. And the last one I'll bring up today real quick is Walter Cronkite was KB2GSD, and he obtained his amateur radio license after he retired from CBS News. And the reason he did that was primarily to have another form of communication while he was on his sailboat. So that was back in the days of, I'm sure that was back in the days of Morse code and all of that, and he did that after he retired. More power to him. I definitely miss his reporting. Okay, and with that, we'll go back to the top of the list, and Kevin can hopefully tell us what LOFER stood for. K6PDG, KC1TWR.
I'll do my best to answer my own question. And that was, I was going to say Bob Heil. I forgot to offer an answer, and it would have been wrong anyway. But, yep, and Walter Cronkite, he wasn't big on operating on the air. He just got his license for that one purpose. Gene Shepard was a ham, K2ORE. Joe Walsh is a ham. There have been a lot of famous hams out there in the entertainment world. All right, loafers, you have me questioning my spelling, Tim. I thought I was spelling it right, or hoped that I was. Now I wonder if it is L-O-W-F-E-R. Using Braille makes some of us a very bad speller, and that's true in my case. So now I'll have to look it up after the net, but Dave was very close. But a loafer is someone who transmits on low frequencies. I guess you could probably say very low frequencies, either to communicate two-way radio-wise or to broadcast, because that is allowed on at least some of those bands. We're talking below the AM broadcast band. Let me reset. And, for instance, I think it's 430-something kilohertz. There's an amateur band down there. There's another one down there somewhere. And then you have, I'm going from memory here, I think it's 100, I think it's 170 to 190 kilohertz, very close to that. And that's an interesting one. You can talk on that. You can broadcast on that. If you have an amateur radio license, you may use 5 watts of power on that band. If you do not have an amateur radio license, you can still use it, but you're limited to 1 watt. Some people have used the term loafer for those of us like myself who have done some Part 15 broadcasting on the AM broadcast band, but technically that's not a loafer. A loafer operates low, way down there, way down there. And in the interest of time, just one more quick question. What is a one-syllable word, 3 letters long, that refers to a poor or inept ham operator? One syllable, 3 letters long. K6PDG.
Well, I have a feeling I should know this. And the only word I can come up with would be ham, but obviously that's probably wrong. So I'm going to punt this one over to Dave and see what he thinks, see if he has any answer to a one-syllable word with three letters long. Dave, K1DCT, KC1TWR.
All right, this is K1DCT in the TIPSnet. Yes, that's an easy one, Kevin. The word is lid, L-I-D. Not really sure what it means in its entirety, but that's what, if you're inept at, you'd be considered a lid. So it probably has some internal meaning that not coming to mind, but that's my go at it. Back to net, K1DCT.
Thank you, Dave, and I don't know Morse code. I often wonder if lid in Morse code has some special meaning or flow to it or something of that nature. Just like in the IT and PC world, if a customer is referred to as, oh yeah, that one's has a problem and it's called an ID10T. That's India David 10 Tango. If you actually write that out, you'll see that that actually forms a five-letter word, which is derogatory to the customer. But let's go on to Steve and see if he agrees with your diagnosis of the word as being lit in K1B, KC1TWR.
K1V, and I'll have to plead ignorance again because I believe Dave because he's generally correct on trivia, especially of a few years ago, and I have no idea. It does make sense, but we're still not 100% sure what it means. Back to that, and K1V.
Okay, this is going to be getting close to the end of the first section of the TIPSnet, but I do want to drop back to Kevin again just to pin the tail on the donkey here. And would you confirm that it is lid? And if so, maybe give us what you think it could possibly mean. KA6PDG, KC1TWR.
Yep, Dave got it right. It's lid, L-I-D. I don't know the derivation. I don't know where it came from. But someone who is an inept or a poor or an inefficient or a not very good operator would be a lid. And the CW component of that, if you run into a CW operator who's a lid, you might send QLF, Quebec Lima Foxtrot, QLF, which is not actually an official Q code. It's a colloquialism, which means try sending with your other foot or try sending with your left foot. Both interpretations have worked. K6PDG, back to you, Tim. Let's get on with the net here.
Very good, Kevin. I think I'd heard about that call sign, that Q code for the other foot, but I'd forgotten all about that. And just like the word ham supposedly goes back to a Morse code operator who was, you know, it was ham-fisted, if you will, rather than a gentle touch, and therefore, derogatory terms. Okay, I think we'll close out the first section here and go into the second section. We're going to go into the second section, which deals with announcements, and then the third section, which is item to sell, swap, or trade, or looking for. But before we do that, any more check-ins, please call now. Thank you, repeater, for checking in. I do appreciate your attending. Okay, we'll go into the second section, which will be the, does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? I will make a quick mention that tomorrow night is the SCRAMS meeting starting at 7 o'clock at the Waterford Police Station. Tomorrow morning there is a breakfast at the Old Times starting at 7. However, I do want to caution everyone to be mindful of the weather. I try and go there, but I don't think I'm going to go there tomorrow coming up from Groton because of the potential ice and what have you. And then Saturday morning at the Uncasville Diner at 8 o'clock down in the sunroom, which I, as far as I know, I'll definitely be there for that one. So, any upcoming events or items of interest, please call now.
A6PDG has one.
Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
Advise folks, or remind folks, as the case may be, I was doing some research on the ARRL website today, or trying to, and I came across the fact that the school's roundup for winter is next week. There's two school roundups. One is in October, one's in February. The dates for school roundup this year are February 10 through February 1-4. You can go to the ARRL website and get all the details on the rules for the contest, classification of stations, hours of operation, all that good stuff. It is fun, and I wanted to announce it on the net, and I might even do so on some other nets because I think it's really important to encourage young people to have fun with amateur radio and grow their hobby, and also to encourage and thank schools for having or allowing ham radio clubs on their campuses. High schools, elementary schools, colleges, universities, trade schools, or any organization specifically set aside to operate in the contest. So that's school roundup, and all the info is on the league website. KA6PDG, back to net.
Thank you, Kevin. That's a very good announcement. And I do want to thank you, Dave, for the compliment about my new role as the DEC for Aries Region 4. It's not something I was looking for, but Vinny needed to step down due to personal life getting in the way a little bit, and he recommended me, and they didn't object, so here I am. I'm going to try and go to the ECARA meeting next Monday night and see if I can introduce myself to those up north and get to know them a little bit better, and we'll see where we go from there. So any further announcements or items of interest, please call now. Okay, let's jump into the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, trade, or looking for amateur radio-related items? Please call now. Okay, hearing nothing, I'm going to open the floor to the floor just one last time in case anybody had any second thoughts, any last comments, questions, or anything of that nature before we close the net. Please call now. Any last check-ins before we close the net? Please call now. Okay, that was last call, and as we have no further check-ins, no further comments, I'm going to close the net at this time. I'd like to thank everyone who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club's Tips Net, and thanks also to those who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. Hopefully you enjoyed the trivia night. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club does sponsor this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross office at 1031 Norwich, New London, Road Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. The meetings start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. That would be next Tuesday. Information about the club can be found on their website, www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. We thank John W1AN for the use of the W1DX Salem repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday, whether you want it to or not, at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo, saying good evening and 73.